Now, last week, the government announced it is to ban unethical puppy and kitten farms in England. It will end commercial third-party sales and mean a new licensing regime. This is fantastic news. And we're going to be catching up with Mark Abraham, the TV vet and founder of Pup Aid, which is happening this weekend. Very busy time for him, who's been campaigning for this for 9 years, I think. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, all right. Thank you. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you. Well, it's a team effort this end. We've got a bunch of campaigners who have never stopped and never given up on the dogs. And we've all been doing it in our spare time. And yeah, what a result. And thank you, Michael Gove, for making it happen.
Yeah, fantastic. So what does this mean then? What have you been campaigning for all this time and what has actually happened?
Well, it's just so simple. It's common sense. Basically, if you want to buy a dog or choose a dog or a cat now, they've actually put cats in the same legislation. You either go to a rescue centre, which is obviously what I would always recommend, because there's also puppies and kittens there, or go to direct to the breeder. So there's no chain. There's no third-party sellers, which can be pet shops. They can be people who deliver a puppy or a kitten online. It could be people that meet you in a motorway service station. It's puppy supermarkets we have actually in the UK. So, and I know puppies are sold in Spain as well in pet shops. So by removing the third-party market, you're dealing directly with supposedly the person that bred that puppy or kitten. So it means they're directly accountable. And the accountability is what Lucy's Law, which is what we've named this law, is what it's all about. If you're buying something, then the person that sells that something, i.e. the puppy or the kitten, is directly accountable. And by removing the chain, you have to push up welfare standards.
Mm. Oh, fantastic. And a lot of people are questioning why it's taken so long to reach this decision.
Yeah, tell me about it. It's taken so long because it's been blocked and sabotaged by a couple or two or three animal welfare organisations in the UK that are behaving in a very disingenuous manner, let's just say. And it's been incredibly frustrating because what they portray on the outside is very different to what's going on the inside. So we've had to fight. We've had to sort of penetrate this castle of sort of bureaucracy, just basically by just carrying on and a war of attrition. And I think that the turning point was when we named it Lucy's Law, after Lucy, who was a beautiful little Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, who was an ex-breeding dog who sadly passed away in December 2016. It personalised the campaign and it really hit home with the British public. We did an e-petition. It took 13 days to get 100,000 signatures. It was debated in Westminster. So it's really been using all the tools that are available to campaign to make this change happen. And last Tuesday, we had the garden party at number 10 Downing Street, and all the campaigners attended, and Michael Gove announced this historic announcement for dogs and cats. And it was incredibly moving and overwhelming. And it is a real credit to the, not just the campaigners, but also to the parliamentarians, you know, Lisa Cameron MP, Caroline Lucas MP, cross-party support, the celebrities that have helped us along the way, you know, Ricky Gervais, Rachel Riley, Brian May, Peter Egan, yourself, Hannah. I mean, you've been so generous with your time and support getting this aired in your neck of the woods. So it's been a real, real team effort, and I couldn't be prouder of the people I've been campaigning alongside.
Oh, fantastic. And does this kind of thing take a long time to implement and put in place, or has it happened overnight since last week?
No. So last week was announcing what's called the second consultation, which is kind of the mechanism of it working. So the government has announced its intent, which is to ban third-party sales, which is fantastic. And now it's the mechanism. So it's asking sort of for, not necessarily for help, but for sort of advice or for views on how best to write the actual legislation. So it's going to happen. And I feel it's going to be fast-tracked as well, because they really want this to happen. I've spoken to Michael Gove about it personally, and he literally cannot believe it's taken this long, because he's relatively new as DEFRA minister, you see. And he's making some great changes. You know, he banned shock collars yesterday. So it's all really positive news for animal welfare, and it's a real privilege to be part of it.
Fantastic. Yes, I read that out this morning, actually, talking about the shock collars. Again, I can't believe they weren't banned many years ago. I think that's a terrible thing.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, animal cruelty is happening across the world. And it seems that the UK is now starting to lead, no pun intended, on dog welfare, on, you know, cat welfare. They put cats in this legislation. And I don't know. I think it's fantastic. And it's also worth noting that the pet industry were also trying to block and sabotage what we were doing. And we believe that's because they fear that a ban on puppies and kittens could lead to a ban on rabbits, could lead to a ban on guinea pigs, could lead to a ban on, you know, mice and rats being sold and all other animals. So there's so many vested interests when you start dealing with things that are sold in shops that we've kind of found out the hard way because, I don't know, I'm an animal lover. All I wanted to do is be a vet. And I just assume that everyone else loves animals. But I tell you something, when you're threatening money, it really does unleash a again, no pun intended. All these doggy jokes. It really does unleash the sort of dark side in people, in organisations, in some charities, and it's really difficult to battle because when you're a group of campaigners doing it in your spare time, and you're dealing with organisations that have PR in-house PR companies, they have millions at their disposal, they have the ear of the government, and they have, you know, TV channels and they have TV adverts. It's really hard. It's very David and Goliath. But yeah, we've just been working hard and finding ways through it all. And I mean, it's such a huge moment for animal welfare in the UK. And I think it will not just help the animals in this country. I think it will help the animals worldwide eventually, because if we can do it, then there's no reason other countries can't do it. And I'll certainly be trying to push forward on that as well to try and make it happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think other countries are going to follow suit now?
Well, I'm over to the States in October. I've already set up the meetings last year because, not that I anticipated this happening, but I've just started the conversation going. So I'm going to try and have a few meetings over there and just sort of sow the seed and sort of encourage them to do the same thing, because there's no real reason why they can't do it now. And it's what a way to follow the UK, you know, this nation of animal lovers we've been talking about for years. And actually now, I think with regard to dog welfare, it's really coming good.
And this Saturday is Pup Aid, as if you're not busy enough. Tell us about what's going to happen this weekend.
So Pup Aid is how it all started. Before I started going to Westminster, we used to do a dog show in Brighton for 2 years called Pup Aid, which is a celebrity judged fun dog show to raise awareness. It's free entry. It's to raise awareness about puppy farming, third-party selling, rescue pet adoption, and responsible dog and cat breeding. It then moved to Primrose Hill in London. Got more celebrities, more awareness. This year, this Saturday, is the seventh one in Primrose Hill. We've got, I think, 30 celebrities already confirmed to come and judge. And we have, like, food, and we have 85 trade stands. We have music. It's like a one-day festival for dog lovers in Primrose Hill. And it, you know, it's going to be a celebration this year because of the announcement last week. So I encourage anyone who's in London this weekend, or relatives of your listeners who are, come to Primrose Hill. It's between 11 and 5. Bring your dog if you have one. If not, it doesn't matter. There's plenty there for you to stroke and make a fuss of, and come and join the celebration. And yeah, so Pup Aid was how it started, and then I started campaigning in Westminster from about 5 years ago, and probably have been to Westminster about 300, maybe more times.
Goodness.
Every day off, sometimes 2 times a week, sometimes 3 times a week. So it's been so intense, but now my meetings are at number 10. Now we have an announcement like we did from Michael Gove last Tuesday. It seems like there's some real hope for the dogs and cats in the UK now. It's incredible. And I cannot thank my fellow campaigners enough, all in our spare time against all the odds, and we've just kept going. It's pretty depressing, lonely place campaigning sometimes. But we've done it.
Well done. It's fantastic. And and it doesn't mean that now this is done you can relax. As you said, it's got to be implemented, and you want to start trying to make it happen in other countries, so doesn't mean it's all over for you.
Absolutely not. I mean, you know, you have to implement it properly. It has to work. The good thing about banning third-party sales is it's a bit like smoking in pubs. It's a very visual thing. You know, if mum isn't there, and that was the original name of the campaign, you know, where's mum? This is very visual. So if mum isn't there, it's an illegal sale. If it's the fake mum, it can be proven by DNA and prosecutions can be made. So it's a real visual law. I look forward to it being enforced by the British public, in a sense, who are going to be acting as whistleblowers, as well as the local authorities, as well as the police, as well as trading standards. It's so much easier to enforce a ban. And the other thing is it sends out such an educational message that third-party selling is wrong. Because if you license it, which is the alternative, which is what a lot of the organisations were pushing for, you're licensing an activity like third-party selling, which is already inappropriate because the puppy is damaged before it reaches the seller. So no amount of licensing can ever improve that situation, not just for the puppy, but for the breeding dog as well. So banning makes everyone go to the breeder or rescue. All the breeders become accountable, transparent. Everyone sees the mum interacting with the pup in the place it was born. And all of a sudden, you make the first major step to ending puppy farming.
Fantastic. Well done, Mark, to you and as you say, all your campaigners. If people want more information on Pup Aid, there's a website, isn't there?
Yeah, there's pupaid.org. I mean, you can follow us on Twitter, which is, it's all easy, it's all Pup Aid. Facebook is Pup Aid. I think Pup Aid Official on Instagram. All the information's there. If you're in London this weekend, come and join us, come and say hi. And to all, and to you, Hannah, and to all your listeners who have helped along the way, signing and sharing e-petitions, thank you so much from me and my campaigners, and more importantly, the dogs.
Oh, no problem. Well done, Mark. Congratulations. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks,
Hannah. Mark.
See you
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.